Well, welcome everyone. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. I'm glad that you are here. Maybe some of you are joining us for the very first time. That excites me very much. I do hope that before you leave today, we have some opportunity to connect with you. We do hope that this is a place here at Oak Hills Church where you can explore faith. Some of us are, that's where we are. We're just exploring it. And some of us, we're in a place where we're looking to deepen our faith. I hope this is a place where you can deepen your faith. But I also hope that this is a place where you can just connect with other believers, that you can connect with them, that you can serve with other believers. Because as we've said many times here, we are not just growing, but we're going. And can I take just a minute just to tell you how excited and encouraged that I am just to see many of you, an increasing amount of you, just stepping up to say, I want to plug into biblical community, whether it's in your small groups. Some of you are, you're signing up to serve in our city. Some of you are signing up short-term mission trips, taking the kingdom, the gospel all around the world. And that's exciting for me to see that. Can I tell you that I'm also hearing more and more stories of people where just maybe two or three people are saying, you know, hey, let's just get together and have coffee, or let's just get together and pray for each other. And it's not because anybody in the group is the expert, but they're just fellow followers of Christ, getting together to pray for each other, to maybe take the study guide from this series and just talk over the things that they're hearing. That is so encouraging to me, because this is what that tells me. It tells me that we're not just going to church, but you are being the church. And that is what Overflow is all about. We are in a series we have called Overflow, because it's not about the great things that we're going to go do for God. Overflow is about the great work that God is doing in us and then through us. Because let's just be honest, we're all in progress. We're a work in progress. We are in process of becoming more like Jesus just a little bit, day after day after day. We're in the process of becoming who we're going to be, every single one of us. Each week we have begun our message with a prayer, an overflow prayer. Would you join with me to pray this prayer out loud together? Let's begin. Good Father, tell me my purpose. Tell me your plan. Tell me the truth of who I really am. Give me your spirit to see as you see, to know why I'm here and what my life means. Awaken our hearts, drench us in truth. We empty ourselves to be filled with you. Pour us out, Father, wherever we go, so others drink deeply from your overflow. And all those who agreed with that prayer said, amen. If you have your Bibles, I hope you do. Maybe you can turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll be there in just a moment. If you have been with us for the last few weeks, you know that we have been talking about the things that we need to empty our lives of. We want to be filled up to the point of overflow, but sometimes the place to start is just to empty some things. We've talked about our past. Sometimes it's shame, it's guilt that we carry from our past that just takes up space in our hearts. Sometimes it's the everyday decisions that we make. It's the things that happen right in our present. Things that we hold on to that, well, after a while have a hold on us. And we need to be able to see those things, be aware of those things so that we can empty them of our lives. Last week we talked about fear. Sometimes it's fear of the future. It's fear of the unknown, the uncertainty in life. It causes anxiety. And sometimes we just need to empty ourselves of those things. But today, and for the next several weeks, we're making a turn. We're going to start talking about what it is that we need to be filled with. What is it exactly that God is calling us to be filled with anyway? Today, we are talking about the Spirit-filled life. Let's begin reading in chapter 5. We're going to pick up there, and we're going to begin in verse 15. So be careful how you live, not as fools, but as those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity for doing good in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but try to understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, let the Holy Spirit fill and control you. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then you will sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music to the Lord in your hearts. And you will always give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing that I want us to notice in this passage is that the Spirit-filled life is a life filled with the Holy Spirit. I know, I just blew your mind, right? You're thinking, did we really get dressed and come here for this? But I think it's an important point that needs to be made. The Spirit-filled life is a life that is filled with the Holy Spirit. I think we need to be reminded of that. I think sometimes we have to be reminded that it's not our work, but it's the Holy Spirit that is working in us. If you have been with us for the last few weeks, you've heard me say something to the effect of, we can't give unless we first receive. And we can't receive unless we are connected to the source. But what is that source? What is it exactly that we are to be connected to? Well, Jesus taught, be connected to me. Jesus said, connect to me. In John chapter 15, he gives us a metaphor. He uses the metaphor of vine and branches. He does this because we understand that branches can't produce fruit unless they're connected to the vine. He says that's kind of what your life is like. I am the vine, you are the branches. You can't produce spiritual fruit in your life if you are disconnected from me. He makes a very clear statement in John 15:5. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. You can't produce the spiritual fruit in your life that you want to see. Well, what is this spiritual fruit? Galatians 5, verse 22 through 23 gives us a pretty good idea. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, maybe some of you have seen that list many, many times before. Maybe you've read that passage many times before, and some of you are seeing this for the very first time. But regardless of whether you've read that passage 100 times or you're seeing it for the first time, we have to remember that this is not fruit that we can just force, that we can just produce in our own strength. If you're anything like me, you see a list like that and you start to think, I can do that. I can be more loving. I can be kinder if I want to. I could be more self-controlled. I can roll up my sleeves and I can do better. Well, let's make it a little more spiritual. God, I can do better for you. But it's all the same. Because it's an attitude that says, well, I can fix me. But that's not the way it works. Christ-likeness is not a matter of, or Christ-likeness is a matter of source, not force. And I love that because it's true, but I love it even more because it rhymes. And I want you to say it with me. Christ-likeness is a matter of source, not force. You see, we look at a list like that and we start to think, I can fix me. I can do this. I can force this in my life. I can do better. But that's the flesh. That's what Scripture calls acting out of the flesh, out of the ego. As someone once said, ego stands for edging God out. Because it's an attitude. It's that turns into a behavior that says, I can fix me. But at some point, every single one of us figure out, I can't fix me. Even the Apostle Paul. In Romans chapter 7, verse 15, he says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. Here we have even the Apostle Paul who's saying, guys, I don't get me. I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't do the things that I want to do. I do the things that I don't want to do. It's almost like there's a war. Like I'm waging. There's a war within myself being waged. Well, this is why it's so important to understand that the Spirit-filled life is a life filled with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit within you will wage war for you. Because again, this is a work that only the Holy Spirit can do within us. We cannot fix ourselves. I can't fix me. But the Holy Spirit within me can fuel me to life change, can bear fruit of the Spirit in my life. Christ-likeness is a matter of source, not force. Second, the Spirit-filled life is a life filled with love. I want us to go back to the very beginning of this chapter, chapter 5 here in Ephesians. Paul begins this chapter. He says, imitate God. Therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children, live a life filled with love. Following the example of Christ, he loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Kind of bringing back that imagery from Leviticus that I know you guys wake up every morning and you read Leviticus, but it's kind of this idea of this offering it's just a pleasing aroma to God. It's a life filled with love. A life filled with love for others. A life filled with love that sacrifices for others. A life that asks the question, what's best for them? What's best for them? I could give you a lot of examples, even from this past week. I'll just give you one. A few days ago, I was driving home on the interstate, minding my own business, when a truck came up behind me very quickly. He was obviously in a hurry. He obviously wanted to drive very close to my back bumper, and I wasn't getting into the out of the left lane soon enough for him, and so he sped around me, almost hitting the back bumper, and because there was already a truck in the right lane that I was passing, he had to squeeze in. You guys have seen this before. He had to squeeze in there really quick, almost hit my front bumper. It was obvious that this guy had not asked Jesus to take his wheel. I was not impressed with his maneuver. And I'm telling you that in a second, I had a plan. It went a little something like this. I mean, look, obviously you guys know that is not safe to follow behind someone like that. So I was just going to blow by him very quickly and then leave him safely behind after riding his bumper for just a few minutes. But in that moment, I had my plan, I knew what I was going to do, and then I heard this question. What's best for him? I said, Leisha, look, I'm driving. You just sit right over there and you just mind your own. No, I didn't do that. I was by myself, but I wasn't, because I had the Holy Spirit within me, and in that moment, filling me with just enough love to make the right decision. Just enough love to ask the question, what's best for him? Now, I know that's a small thing, that's a silly thing, but isn't that the way life works? I mean, it's just the little things all along the way. And I let it go. And I let him go. And in that moment,
I believe the Spirit filled me to become just a little bit more like Jesus in that moment. Just a little bit more. And I believe it was a pleasing aroma to God. I don't know how this plays out in your life, but just to stop and ask the question, what's best for them? Maybe it's that email that you're responding to and you're telling them what you really want to say. And maybe you need to delete a word or two or the entire email. That's what happens when we ask the question, what's best for them? We become filled with the Spirit and we become a life filled with love. Well, this brings us to our third point that we see. A Spirit-filled life is a life filled with surrender. Can we go back and just read a portion of that scripture that we read earlier? So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life, and instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit-filled life is a life filled with surrender. If you have surrendered your life, if you've believed in Jesus, then you've received the Holy Spirit. But the power that the Holy Spirit has in your life is dependent on the control that the Holy Spirit has over your life. Remember, the Holy Spirit is not an it. He is a person. He's not just a force. He's not the genie in a lamp that we carry around the lamp, and then when we need him, you know, we rub the lamp and the Holy Spirit pops out and we go, I need some help. And then he exerts his power and his force to make things happen. That is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not a force. The Holy Spirit is a person. And so it makes sense to me that we would nurture a relationship with the Holy Spirit just like we would a person. If I ignore my wife, our relationship will suffer very quickly. But if I want to nurture that relationship, if I want that relationship to thrive, then I will talk to her. I will listen to her. I'll care about the things that she cares about. I'll care about the way that I live and the decisions that I make and how those decisions impact our relationship. You see, the more sensitive we are to the Holy Spirit, the person who is fully God within us, the more sensitive we are, the more influence the Spirit has in our life. Paul says, instead, be filled. Now that be filled is a present tense verb. There are other places where you see this in Scripture, and it's a one-time filling. But right here, the way he's using it, it's continuous. It's the idea of being continuously filled. It's not a one-time thing. It's an everyday surrender. It's an everyday surrender. It's saying, Holy Spirit, only you can fix me. Only you can convict me of my sinfulness. Only you can comfort me from my woundedness. And only you can control me to keep me from my foolishness. Holy Spirit, will you do a work in my life? You know, I wonder what difference would it make if we just started every day. I mean, before our feet hit the ground, if we just said, Holy Spirit, I surrender. I surrender. What is it that you want me to do today? Where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to talk to? How do you want me to use my giftedness today? How do you want me to use my time? How do you want me to use my money today? I surrender. What do you want me to do? That, too, is a powerful question, because a surrendered life is a powerful life. Paul says, don't act like the fools, but act like those who are wise. Be wise. Well, who are the wise? Well, the wise are the ones who know God and know that their lives are better off in his hands, underneath his control. Finally, the last thing that we see with the Spirit-filled life is that it is a life filled with joy. And Paul says, instead, be filled with the Spirit. And then you will be singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be filled with the Spirit. And when you are, you'll know. You'll know. Because you'll sing. You'll know because you'll make music. You're saying, no, that's really not my thing. That may be your thing, the whole music thing, but that's not really. Well, Paul says, well, yeah, actually it is. Because the best kind of music is the kind of music that comes from the heart. Maybe you think about it in terms of your life's song. You see, because when you are under the influence, the control of the Holy Spirit, the song that your life sings is the song that you were created for since before time began. You were born to sing the melody where every note is guided by the Holy Spirit. And what difference would that make? What difference would it make if your life song was guided by the Holy Spirit? Would it sound any different? Would it change anything? Would it change your browsing history? Would it change who you choose to love? How you choose to love? Would it change anything in your life? Would it change how quickly you fall asleep when you put your head on the pillow at night? Would it change how much hope you have in the midst of deep sorrow and suffering? And if it did, if it changed any of those things, would that change the amount of joy that overflows in your life? I think it would. Can I ask the question another way? If the Holy Spirit was taken from your life in an instant, would you notice a difference? Would anyone around you notice any difference? Would the change be drastic? Would it be subtle? What would your life song sound like if the Holy Spirit was not guiding the notes? You see, if you've surrendered, if you've believed in Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit. But the question is, how much does the Holy Spirit have you? If you've surrendered your life, you have the Holy Spirit. But how much does the Holy Spirit have you? Would you like to live a Spirit-filled life? Would you like to live, as Scripture tells us, live in the fullness of God, to be filled up to the point you just overflow? Would you like to start today? Because if you have surrendered your life, that's where it starts. But that's not where it ends. The Apostle Peter in Acts 2, 38 through 39 is preaching his heart out to the people. Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God." If you have believed in the name of Jesus and you've surrendered, but you've not repented of your sin and been baptized, you've got some things to consider today. But even the act of baptism is an act of surrender. Even baptism isn't something that we do. It's something that's done for us. I can't state it clearly enough. It's not about our works. It's about the work of the Holy Spirit within us, changing us, transforming us, making us just a little bit more like Jesus day after day after day. It's the power of the Holy Spirit sealing us for salvation, saving us. And that, my friend, is something that nothing or no one can ever take away from you. Amen.